I've enjoyed a book lately on Mephibosheth. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't we first open to 2 Samuel chapter 9.
Here we have the story of Mephibosheth. When we don't have time to read the whole thing, but I'll just kind of be picking at a couple of different verses here. Let's see. Verse 3, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on both of his feet. And then let's jump over to verse 5. Then the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Micah. So the word there that I was looking for is fetched. And then okay, let's go over to verse 11. The last half of the verse. And he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And the last verse. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both of his feet. Well, here we have a beautiful truth of how the Lord has fetched us and brought us to himself. And we see here it was for Jonathan's sake. The kindness that's been shown to us, it was for Christ's sake. For what he has done on the cross. And how he has completed the perfect work of redemption. And as they brought him, as the people have brought Mephibosheth, some may say, try to give him tips. Maybe you need to repent. And maybe you need to feel really, really bad to appease an angry God. Or in this case, the King David. But for us, it's not so. Our blessed Lord Jesus loves us. God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's love. It's not about the object. It's not about us. He was lame on both of his feet. And then there's people. We got to kind of keep going because I have a lot to cover. There's people that say that, well, once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, now all of a sudden you're going to be good. You're going to be able to walk. Not so. Christianity is not a book of self-improving to help self out. It's not about self. As a matter of fact, where to put the flesh in the place of death. And the flesh worth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. It is not about changing. The Lord doesn't go about to change what is wretched, the depravity of man. It's awful. It's condemned. We're not doing remodels. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are lame on both of our feet. We don't change. And I think that's where a lot of discouragement comes in, when we look at our performance. Say, I had a neighbor that said, oh, I've tried that Christianity thing. It didn't work out for me. Why? Is it because the love of God has let him down? No. It's because he was looking at himself and he saw that he still couldn't get up. You see, in Christianity, what we need is not a pep talk or motivational speech to give to Mephibosheth to stand up. Because it can be done. there'll be no change. And the way this works is the Lord wants us to go about to prove Him. To prove Him how much He loves us. And while we're doing that, we're going to prove what's in our own hearts. And it is much better to prove what's in the heart of God than to prove what's in our own hearts. Are you going to go about to prove to yourself that I'm going to devote my life to the Lord Jesus Christ? And think how weird it would be for Mephibosheth to come in the presence of David and say, don't let these legs fool you. I have a lot to offer you. Yet how many times Christians do that? They come to the Lord Jesus and think that they're going to do something for the Lord. Yet the flesh can only produce flesh. We think of Abraham. He wanted to help God out. God gave him a promise. How did He help him out? We know that his son was the enemy of the Lord's people, even to this day. Ishmael. Because it wasn't a promise. The work is going to be done through the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And when we put Him to the test, He's going to show Himself real. Say, if a donkey talks, who gets the glory? Is it the donkey or the Lord? It's the Lord. The Lord wants us to do, He's going to do through us great and mighty things if there's faith. And we hinder, because the Lord would desire that we all will know Him in a fuller way, but we hinder Him in accomplishing those things in us. You know, I speak for myself. I don't doubt, and I have faith that God is powerful. His wisdom, His knowledge. But the bottom line is I doubt His love for me. Why is that? Why is it that we doubt God's love for us? Because we're lame on both of our feet. But you know, the beautiful thing is, he fed. He was at the Lord's at the table, David's table, continually. What did he say? I don't want to come today, David. I'm working. I'm doing some therapy for my legs. As a matter of fact, when he was in the wilderness, David said that he missed him at the table. So for us, the Lord desires to have fellowship with us. He truly loves each one of you. He's the perfect, all the way home Savior. And He wants to reveal Himself to you. You know, if we think we have something to offer, and how sad, but we know there was a man that he had high thoughts of himself and his zeal, the different men that were mentioned. Peter was one of them. He was boasting of his love for God. Then he went out and wept bitterly. He learned. He proved what was in his heart and what kind of man he was. We sang earlier, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. That doesn't change. But we continue to grow in the knowledge of Him and His love to us. And I had a lot of things here, but I better keep going or we're going to run out of time. Another one was Elijah. Elijah, he told the Lord that he's the only one. He thought he was earnest and look how much I'm suffering, and I'm the only one, and they seek my life to kill me. The Lord had to tell him, I have saved 7,000 that have now bowed the knee. He's faithful. And not only that, but it was the Lord that kept Elijah. And He's the one that's keeping me and you. Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's not of ourselves. The Lord wants to do a work. Let's turn over to a verse. Let's see. In I kind of skipped a lot of the verses. Okay, so here's another one. I'll just read it. In Philippians 1:6, being confident that this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Not that we are, in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God. So the Lord is going to make you, it's going to do great things. Here's a beautiful verse in Psalms 18:32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon the high places. You know, if Mephibosheth could even stand up, anything, and would be so insignificant. You know, David had mighty men. He had one fellow that could run as fast as a deer. And that didn't really help him. He died with somebody speared him. But the idea is that the Lord will do great things, that when we see what Christ is doing in us, we will give glory to God. When we see Christ in one another as believers, we can say that's not of Him. You know, in Psalms it says that all men are vanity and great men are liars. You know, it's sad to say that as long as we live, there's two things that we're going to learn. The wretchedness that's in my heart and the goodness that's in the heart of God, which gives it value. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ and what He sees as value and what we delight to please Him. But He wants, we cannot go out to please Him as we automatically think of service. I want to please the Lord. We got to serve. We got to do something. We got to have agitation. Zeal. And people grade each other based on your performance, which is horrible. You know, we think of the woman at the well. The Lord asked her to give me to drink. She didn't. But the Lord was satisfied. Why? Because there was faith. When the disciples came, they were wondering who gave him, who satisfied his hunger. Because she had faith. She said, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is something that other people can't see. Yet it means everything to God. Because then we realize, when God said there's nothing good in us, you know, there's two religions, somebody said, kind of going off a rabbit trail here. There's two religions. Only two. It's we take God at face value, when we believe what he says about us, and we come to him on his terms and realizing there's nothing good in man. And the other one is, I can do it. Cain. And I can earn God's favor. And he brought up the best of the fruit. He didn't bring rotten tomatoes. He brought up the best. The best is not good enough. In Psalms it says that the Lord takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. In other words, in the performance that we have. Because as you do that, you go about to make him a liar. We need to take it by faith and believe what he says is true. So then the question is, how do we grow in our faith? In Matthew 13, we should turn there, Matthew 13, 58. Here, the Lord was back in his hometown. So we'll read 57. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And in verse 58, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So the question is, how do we grow our faith? It's by sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The last verse. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we are in His presence, we are transformed, just like Moses was in the presence of the Lord. And his face shone. That's how it's going to happen. And while we're there at his feet, meditating on his love for us, it's what's going to give me the faith to go in his power. If there's anything that I want to do this for the Lord, or that for the Lord. If it didn't come from the Spirit of God, it's the agitation of and the Lord can guide us, but how? In Psalms, there's a verse that says, be not as the mule, or as the horse to move on ahead. But the Lord desires to guide us with His eyes. And we need to be close to Him. Because He desires, He wants to make Himself manifest. So in John 17, He speaks out the desire of the Lord that we may be with Him and the Father, that they may behold my glory. And this is what's going to give praise. What is seen of Christ in your life is going to create praise for the Lord. But if I am not exercised about it, and I'm indifferent, of being at the feet of Jesus, there's no substitute. You cannot do anything without being at the feet of Jesus, because there we are instructed. There we learn of the character of God. There He leads us with His eyes. And we can do mighty things for Him. And it's not going to be in our strength. It's going to be as the donkey speaking, or the wild donkey that the Lord Jesus rode upon. That's not natural. God gets the glory. But we also think in Hebrews chapter 11. Over there, we don't see a bunch of men with their zeal and proving anything of themselves. They're proving God and His faithfulness and the power of faith. The power of faith that pleases the Lord. What? How could we say, you know, over there we speak of the women receiving their dead back to life. Out of weakness they are made strong. How could that be? It's a power that is outside of ourselves. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that can work mighty works in us. And the more we're exercised and spend time at the Lord's feet, the more it's going to bring Him honor and glory. And I'm sure that it's the desire of each one of you to do that. But the enemy of our soul will have us to be occupied with anything, but be at the feet of Jesus. Because at the feet of Jesus, it's where we're transformed.